Hey everyone, as you know, we are a bunch of ADHDers working together to create the most helpful ADHD content ever. And now it's time for the release of Everything at Once. This is the Everything Bundle, freaking for Christmas. And so we got so many good things to share with you. Addy, tell them about it.
So this month, for the whole of December, we're doing a Christmas sale, a holiday sale if you don't celebrate Christmas, and it's 90% off from our ultimate ADHD bundle. So with that, you get 33 products, which includes all of the ebooks, workbooks, Google Sheets, and Notion templates.
And they're all very pretty.
It's pretty epic. Yeah.
They're all pretty and graphical. We commission artists to help make them, and they're glorious. But if you're visually minded, you just want to like look at them. They're so pretty. So I like that.
You can buy it for yourself for Christmas, or I don't know, for a friend if you think they have ADHD. And on top of the bundle itself, anyone who buys the product in December will go in the drawer to win this awesome prize pack. So in the prize pack, we have 10 free ADHD coaching sessions, which, you know, Lord knows we all need. We have $100 Amazon gift voucher times two and free access to all of our future books in 2024. So get in there. Grab that bundle and get in the draw to win that awesome prize pack.
Hello, my beautiful NeuroSpicy friends. It's us, the ADHD Explorers, back at you with the lovely Tina, who is the ADHD accountant, which is very exciting. So all your financial troubles, we will explore and see what is the connection between ADHD and managing our finances. Hey, Tina, how's it going?
Good. Thank you for having me.
So great to have you on. Like, I'm sure there's so many ADHDers, you know, we have all these issues with spending sometimes, like, okay, we get the money at the beginning of the month, and then by the end of the month, oh, where did it go? Oh, and then we forget about random shopping sprees, or, you know, getting so overwhelmed we don't want to, like, use our executive function to, like, plan our finances. Goodness me. So I want to ask you, like, what is it that you do? And how do you help people with ADHD manage their finances?
Yeah, so I am an accountant and financial consultant. So I help people with their personal finances as well as business finances. So here in Australia, I have my own accounting firm. So I help people with their, you know, business side of things. And then also with the personal side of things, I do through the financial coaching, financial consulting, I should say. I do a little bit of coaching in there, but I like to call it financial consulting, which we do a lot of things depending on the individual. But, you know, if I think about in a group setting, like my Instagram, for example, we just, you know, talk about how to decrease our impulsive spending and how we can maintain a budget or spending plan, but also all the emotional things that come with our money as well.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. When I heard that we had an ADHD accountant coming on, I was like, wow, that's such a niche thing. Like, it's so cool that you exist and that you're doing what you're doing. And it's cool because, like, we've been talking, like, last episode we talked to a nutritionist on ADHD, and it's fascinating how the emotional side comes into it over and over again. That's what is, like, it's almost like this impulsivity, this automatic emotional behavior is something that affects all our different areas of our life. So thanks for wanting to help other ADHDers with that, first of all.
Thank you. I absolutely love it. So it's my pleasure.
So, like, what would you say are the main, like, issues that ADHDers have with their finances?
Impulsive spending is the biggest one that I come across. It's always, you know, one of the first things people come to me with when I'm on, you know, talking on podcasts or doing workshops for people. That seems to be the number one thing, followed closely by budgeting. So not only making a budget, understanding how to do that, organizing finances, but also sort of sticking to a budget or a plan as well. And then below that is, you know, just general money management, which does encompass quite a few things, but, you know, a lot of people just throw up their hands at even the mention of money or finances. So that comes in at number three.
It's triggering for me.
Yeah, it, like,
I'm like, oh, you want
to? It comes up in a lot of what we do. Like, even the nutritionist the other day, it was like, it's these feelings of shame, right? That come up around various different things, but yeah, with money, it's like these feelings of shame about like not understanding mm-hmm. how to manage your money or spending too much money or like how Guilt. Do I open a bank account?
Yes.
Like, so I'm sure in your you know, time with your clients, there's mm-hmm. a lot of this kind of like emotional management part of it.
Yes.
Like how do you help people work through things like guilt if they've like spent loads that month and they're a bit mm-hmm. overwhelmed by that side of it? How do you approach that side of it?
Yeah, so the first thing is actually acknowledging that that's what you're feeling. A lot of the time when we start to feel those emotions, we just want to avoid it. And then that's what rolls on to avoiding the whole money thing. So the first step is actually acknowledging, you know, what are you feeling? Where in your body are you feeling it? That type of thing. And then actually working through that. So I always say it's a bit of a juggle between someone like myself who's a consultant or a coach or something, but then also possibly like a therapist, because whilst I can do, you know, a little bit around the emotions, if the emotions are there because of something that's happened in the past, which, you know, a lot of the times it is, that's where therapy can come into it as well. So we kind of, you know, I do my part when it comes to helping to try to work through those emotions. And then, you know, if they need help elsewhere, then I always direct them where to go. But as far as my part goes, it's exactly that. It's just trying to understand why that emotion has come up, what's triggered it, what's happening, and then trying to work through, you know, whatever that emotion is, where it's coming from, things like that. And then that can open a floodgate of a whole lot of other things. You know, as I said, if it's money stories from the past or money beliefs from the past and things like that, that opens up a lot more stuff to talk about and work on.
Wow. So it's like you're dealing with the core upstream symptoms rather than like just putting a Band-Aid on the situation. You're helping them go into that place and be.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. make a new relationship with those emotions. Wow, that's really cool. It's like such an interesting niche, like because like how did you come to want to share your knowledge with the overlap between ADHD and finances?
I can't take full credit for it. Look, I've been an accountant for a really long time. I don't know, I think it's probably up to like 12 or 14 years now. So it's always, numbers have always been my thing. And then when I got diagnosed with ADHD, it, you know, I got a lot of emotion out of that about, you know, what does that mean for my career, all that kind of stuff. And I started posting on Instagram just general ADHD content. I just wanted to share my journey of getting diagnosed and what that meant for me and my career and my work and family life and all that kind of stuff. And I spoke to somebody one day who I'd met through my Instagram, and we were talking about where I was going to take my career. And she's like, you know, why don't you combine your money and ADHD? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not a thing. And she's like, absolutely it is. She said, you'd be surprised at how many people with ADHD struggle with money and all that kind of stuff. And that's honestly, I held so much shame because I'm one of those people, even though I love money, I'm great at what I do. You know, I'm still ADHD. I still impulsively spend. I still have a lot of shame. Well, I did have a lot of shame. I've worked on that, obviously. But, mm-hmm. You know, so that brought up a lot of things for me. And I didn't realize that, you know, other people would feel that way as well. So that's when I sort of started to take the avenue of talking a lot on my Instagram around money and kind of shifted my content to that. And once I did that, it just, my account just blew up. And that person was exactly right. It's a huge thing in this community to struggle with money, and people really need help with it.
Mm. How did you find being in that industry and having ADHD? Did you find that like meeting other people then helped you understand like a lot of what had been going on?
Yeah, once I got diagnosed and I started to meet other ADHDers and people like that. But before I was diagnosed, being in this industry was really difficult because, you know, I guess in a general population, there's not many people with ADHD, but especially in, you know, that kind of work environment, there's not many neurodivergent people. So that brought up a lot of its own issues around work. And as I said, you know, shame around my own money habits and things like that back in the day. So yeah, it was really difficult. But a lot of the things that I teach now is things that I taught myself to do before I was diagnosed. So, you know, the things that I help people with now and teach them and implement, you know, is what I came up with to help myself when I was undiagnosed. So it was a long journey, but yeah, one that I am more proud of these days rather than try to hide and be ashamed of it.
I love that.
It's that ADHD ingenuity coming into play.
It's like I feel like some of the wisest ADHDers are the ones, well, like, I don't know, but like, it's all different for everyone. But I feel like there's some people that didn't know they were ADHD for so long. They learned all of these like adaptive mechanisms. Like, you know, Ryder Carroll, who made the bullet journal method, that whole like journaling method he made up just to help himself. So that's really cool that you've like, I feel like you've obviously had to like car crash the wrong ways sometimes to learn all these different ways to navigate all the different aspects of money and ADHD and like looking after yourself. So like, how do we do it? Like, should we start? Where do we start? Do we make a budget or think about what our monthly spend is? I don't know. Help me out here.
Yeah. So, and look, that's exactly where people go to first. So like, I'm rubbish with money. I struggle to manage it. So I'm going to go straight to a budget. And I tell people a lot of the time that that's actually quite a few steps ahead of where people actually need to start. If you don't understand what's going on in your bank account, if you're even afraid to look in there, if you don't know what subscriptions you have, you know, if you're not even sometimes keeping track of what you're spending, that's where you need to start rather than all these steps ahead of making a budget. Because if you make a budget, try to sit down and, you know, if you're afraid to look into your bank account, you don't know what's in there, trying to put all that into a budget just isn't going to work. If you don't know, you know, what's coming out as far as expenses go each month and whatever it may be, that gets really quite difficult to do. So I always tell people that if this is completely new to them, just start at getting comfortable with even looking at your money. Jump into your bank account every now and then and try to work through those feelings of anxiety if that's what's coming up when you go in there because of all the, you know, withdrawal transactions that you can see. And just get comfortable and know what's in there and start to, you know, not track every single dollar. That can get really tedious. But even just having a look, you know, what have I spent today? Because often we do forget. We forget that we've, you know, spent something yesterday. And then we wonder why we're, you know, running out of money. So just being aware of all of that is a really big first step.
Yeah, because like, how can you even make a budget when you don't know what you're budgeting on, right? Like what you're actually spending money on. And that anxiety is so real. Like, I remember, especially when I was at university and I was really broke, like the anxiety of even just putting your card in the machine to be like, what the hell negative is it?
Wait, can you say again, Addy? It cut out for me.
Yeah, I said it's just the anxiety piece is really real. You know, like when you put your card into the machine and then you don't know what's going to come up on the screen.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like there's some phenomenons around money that. So I like how step one you say basically like observe your financial situation and like see if what emotional spikes you have at the same time. So you get an awareness of like what's going on and your reaction to it. And then from there, you can kind of move forward. Because I think that kind of avoidant behavior that us ADHDers love to hang out in and like it's super easy to. Like I know that money freaks me out. I don't want to like ever run out of money or whatever. Like it's really scary. And obviously like, I feel like even having capacity to feel those uncomfortable emotions is kind of hard for us sometimes. So step one, observe your situation, I guess. And then so after we got a feel for what's going in and out, how do we move forward then, would you say?
So once you've kind of gotten a feel for it, then it's probably a good time after that to actually sit down and have a good look at everything. So I tell people just to start with the first month. So actually go into your bank account properly, either bring up transactions for the first month. You can download files sometimes, depending on what bank you're with, and actually track them. So have a look at them, see if it was, you know, a bill, if there was sort of quote unquote, bad word, I know, but necessary expenses. I'm talking like, you know, rent or mortgage or food or whatever it may be. And then have a look at all the other transactions, all those little amounts, and actually mark what they are, whether they were, you know, coffees or, you know, random purchases, some impulsive purchases. And through that process, you can kind of see why doing that first bit of getting comfortable with it, because once you start sort of sitting down and actually tracking and sort of marking out, you know, what might have been impulsive, what was necessary, what wasn't, things like that, that can bring up a lot of emotions as well. So that's why I always say that first step is to get comfortable with it and then actually do the tracking. So you don't have to do, you know, a lot. Like I tell people to start with that first month. If you want to go back further, then do that. Otherwise, just stop with that first month and then you can come back to that and go back further if you need to, because you will at some point need to, you know, figure out what are your monthly expenses, quarterly, yearly, things like that. But just that first step of looking at the last month, last 30 days, and then, you know, go forward from there.
A lot of banks now will like give you a kind of a breakdown, like a pie chart. Of like, oh, you spent this much on groceries, and they'll like lump it into at least categories so you have a general idea of like, oh, wow, I spent a lot on electronics this month.
Yeah, some banks are really good and they give you that information. I know the bank that I'm with doesn't, so it's really annoying, but I do. I work with some people who I see what their bank gives them, and it's just so much good information. So, yeah, it's always good to sort of see if your bank can do that.
Yeah, I think... I think for me at least, I'm very visual, and I think that seeing those kind of like pie charts and things, like when I see things in a big grid of list, I'm just like, wow, I just want to like puke or something, you know? Like, I don't know how to make it more fun. It's almost like we're always craving novelty. So I feel like, I know there are some apps that like you can plug in your finances to and see it all colorful and rainbowy, which I don't know if that helps, but I guess that's something that exists out there of some kind.
Yeah,
or like Clio is, I don't know if you know about Clio, they're like an AI-ish chat kind of app, and you're like, hey Clio, do I have money to spend on XYZ, and they're like, your bills are coming up, you should prioritize that.
Oh wow, how cool is that?
Whoa. That's really cool.
I haven't used it myself, but I've heard about them.
I'm gonna have to take a look at that sounds really interesting.
And I Tina, I know what you mean about when it comes to like when you're sharing content online and an ADHD, I feel like we always kind of make mistakes ourselves along the way. Like I feel like we do this podcast from a perspective of like, hey, we're learning alongside you. We want to learn. I like, what are some examples of ways in which you like mess up sometimes, if you don't mind sharing? As an like, how does your ADHD affect you and your finances?
Oh, a lot of ways. As I said, I still impulsively spend. I try to make people understand that there's no illusion here of that I'm perfect. I don't expect other people to be perfect, especially with ADHD. And I never tell somebody that they can't, that I should say, I never promise people that they can stop impulsively spending, for example, because with ADHD, it really isn't realistic. If some people can, then that's amazing. But, you know, I always want people to be realistic about it. And it's more about, you know, doing it less rather than completely cutting it out. So yeah, I'm still impulsive. I, you know, bought a couple of things impulsively over Black Friday sales. Sometimes I don't want to look at my bank account either. Like, especially if I remember stuff that I've spent, I'm like, oh, sometimes I went into my bank account this morning and I'm like, oh, I spent two transactions yesterday, which was they totaled to $150. And I'm like, wow, that's actually put a bit of a dent in the money that was in there. So there are a few ways that you know, that ADHD affects my finances. But the good thing is that these days I'm much more aware of them. So I tend not to get into that shame spiral and that feelings of guilt. And if I start to, I can, pick it up a lot quicker than what I used to. So if that happened, 5 years ago or something, it just would have sent me into such a, I'm so ashamed at myself, blah, 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 blah. I like to think that sort of where I am now, is testament to, how an ADHDer can manage their money.
I appreciate that you're sharing that, and also that you're sharing this perspective of like being kind to yourself. And this seems to like come up again and again that like
Again and
the
again,
biggest
yes.
mistake ADHDers make is we're so mean to ourselves and we beat ourselves up, and the guilt cycle is so real, that downward guilt cycle, and it's like us punishing ourselves. So, gosh, so how did you get out of that pattern? If I can ask that.
There's not really sort of one thing that I can pinpoint. I think it was more just a lot of work around accepting my ADHD and what that means for me. And then a lot of work. Look, I've spent the last year with a therapist as well who has helped me, not so much, with money specifically. It's more, as I said, the emotions and things like that that go into it. Helping me to recognize what emotions that I'm feeling, because I didn't actually realize that sometimes I misinterpret the emotion that I'm feeling, which apparently a lot of ADHDers do as well.
Alexithymia.
I think there's been that external help. There's been a lot of reading and YouTube videos and anything that I can do to learn about what ADHD means as a general thing. Learning a lot about that, learning a lot about how ADHD affects me specifically. So being much more aware, journaling, all that kind of stuff. And then, applying those things to money. Because I say a lot of the time that a lot of our for the lack of a better word, issues around money is because of our emotions and, the things that our brain does because of ADHD. It's not actually, unless you've got dyscalculia or something like that, it's not actually a lot of the time the numbers and the money. It's all the things that are behind that that we aren't aware of or we can't pinpoint, and then that comes out with, all the shopping and not being able to budget and things like that.
Wow.
There's a lot of shame there with, like, especially as an adult. The older you get, you're like, I should be able to like be on top of my finances and this, and then like take care of myself. And I'm like, I shouldn't have to ask my parents for help again in my 30s. And like, that overcoming that is a lot of work.
Absolutely. And it's interesting there how you, the both those things you said, you were like, I should be able to this. I shouldn't have to do that. And that's what we say we should all the time, which then again plays into more guilt, into more shame. So being aware of, the words that you actually use, towards yourself as well, can go a really long way.
I feel there's something to be said about like avoidance in terms of like for me, like I feel like I avoid something and then I get more scared of it because I avoided it. And then I avoid it some more and I get more scared. And then it turns into this whole thing that I can't talk about, or like my partner can't bring it up with me because like they're scared that I'm gonna like freak out or something, you know, of like of just like feeling like it's a tender place. I'm ashamed, maybe. Don't want to feel that shame. And that takes a lot of self-love to dissolve that shame and fear sometimes, and that avoidance. Like to know that it's like, you know, sometimes it's like survival, you know, we don't want to feel those uncomfortable emotions again.
Yeah,
So it's a very
absolutely.
interesting topic, this. Like it does bring up so much emotions, and like learn, it's like almost you're encouraging people to approach it like with awareness of like what your triggers are, you know, and what your emotions are around everything. That's really interesting.
Because even, I guess, related to like impulsive spending, which you said is the biggest thing people struggle with, everyone's going to have like a different emotional trigger or like circumstantial trigger that pushes them into emotional spending. Like for some of us, it might just be that only if we see it when we're walking past it, and then that's a bit easier. You can just avoid going those places. But for others, it's like some people I know that they're when they're feeling sad, they go straight to online shopping, right? And like that's their outlet. So I guess it's that helping to really understand what your what is sending you into that impulsive spending.
I swear, one of the most crazy things about having ADHD is online shopping, because it's such a dopamine hit so easily. Like, they made it so low resistance that it's like so easy to be like, oh, and then now there's something nice coming my way. Ho, ho, ho. Yay, yay, yay. So have you got any tips for kind of like managing online shopping? Like, I downloaded Temu, that new app, and I get so absorbed into it. It's like a video game of novelty. I never want to leave. And then I was going to spend like $6, but I accidentally spent $180
on
random stuff. And it was like a trance. It was an immersive trance. And I was like, mindfully watching myself a little bit. And I was like, oh, I'm in something. I'm way deep in something. I need to get out of this. It's dangerous. Luckily, my mind said that, because I was like observing. But it makes me like freaked out to say, like, what's, I don't know what's going on there. Can you shed some insight on how we can protect ourselves from that black hole?
Yeah, well, as hard as it is, and again, this may be like, you know, a few steps down the track for some people, but yeah, being aware of when that does happen. So I know what you mean with that app. I downloaded it as well because I wanted to buy these awesome cat pants. But it said I had to spend more money, right? They actually implemented a minimum spend. So I wanted to spend $20 or $25 or something on these cat pants. But they're like, no, you can't check out until you've spent, I think it was $35 or something like that. And I thought, well, I don't want to spend that. I looked at other stuff to buy, but I was like, no, I just want these. So I'm not going to get them. But that's, you know, that app, it's what it does. It makes the experience really engaging. So I don't know if anyone else has downloaded the app, but I think when you do, like when I did it, there was a spinny wheel that came up of, oh, you can, you know, spin the wheel and get a discount, and they make it really fun. And, you know, a lot of their stuff is colorful, and, you know, they're like, oh, you looked at this, how about this? And they make you spend more time on the app or the website or whatever it is. So just being aware of, you know, not having those apps on your phone possibly. So, you know, get rid of the apps. The websites are a little bit harder because obviously if you're going to, you know, not have the Chrome app or something, you're going to be exposed to websites. A good idea is not putting your card details into the browser. You know how you can sort of save them there and it makes it really easy to check out. A good way to stop that is to actually not put your card details in there. So you actually have to get up, put your wallet or card or whatever somewhere where you have to make, there's a lot of steps to actually get your card to then check out. So there are a few ways, but also being aware of, as you said before about the triggers, being aware of when you are more likely to online shop as well. So for me in the past, it used to be back when I was working in corporate accounting, and I really didn't fit into that environment. So I'd get home, I'd be exhausted, I would be really unhappy. And I'd just, you know, take out my phone and just scroll and look at websites and just spend money. So trying to identify, again, you know, working with somebody, if you can't identify your emotions and your triggers, because that'll go a long way. As I said, you know, if you're feeling really tired or sad or angry, you'll be able to identify that and understand, well, that's why I'm now going onto this website to do some scrolling and do some shopping. So instead, you can put the phone down and you can, you know, get up and go do something else. You know, perfect world, you do that all the time. But again, we're not perfect. We have to be realistic. Sometimes we are just going to spend some money. But the more you can, you know, identify that, put your phone down and go do something else to work through that emotion, is going to lead to less online shopping.
I like that. Avoid it like crazy. Like, I know that that's a really top tip. I think that Peter Shankman, who wrote like Faster Than Normal, which is a really like positive book about ADHD, he's very obsessed with gambling, right? And so he doesn't allow to take speaking gigs in Vegas. He has a boundary with himself to avoid that whole city, because he knows when he gets there, he will spend. It's like, if I go on Temu, I am going to spend maybe at least $20. So you know what? I love, delete the app off your phone, make it more emotional resistance, make it harder for yourself. It's almost like, oh, if you're ever going out shopping, just leave your card at home.
Yeah.
would be the exaggerated version of that. Mm. That's cool. That's a top tip.
I've found that with the saved cards, it's kind of been my savior that I never remember my CVC. Mm. So like it's like three digits, but I can never remember it perfectly. So it comes up and it's like, it's your CVC, and I'm like, I'd have to go look at my card. Do I really need this? Like, I don't.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're putting all these steps in between you and actually making the purchase and checking out with it. So the more steps that you can have, the harder it is for your brain, and then you'll just get over it. And the quicker you get over it, the more it's most probably impulsive spending or trying to fill a void or trying to get over an emotion or not feel an emotion. So it's really interesting when you can kind of also track that and see, you know, how many times you do go to online shopping and what was, you know, what that trigger was, you'll end up getting a pattern.
Wow, that's so insightful. So you're saying observe your like whole situation and make decisions mm-hmm. based on that, like an adult. Yes, that sounds very wise. I love how you were mentioning earlier how rather than telling your clients to cut out things completely, mm-hmm. you kind of you don't have those like 100% boundaries. You kind of let them have a bit of ease. Can you tell me a bit about why we benefit from that kind of way of looking at it?
Yeah. So, look, this isn't specifically just for the ADHD community. We can feel it very a lot more, as with a lot of things. But when you try to restrict yourself too much, the first thing you want to do is go do it. You know, you start to feel angry, you start to feel sad. And the more you do it, the more our brain wants to rebel on that. It's like, well, you're telling me that I can't do this, so I'm going to go do it. And the more that you restrict, the more that builds up as well. So if you're restricting, and then you get to the point where you've saved up some money, or you haven't online shopped or in-store shopped in a really long time, and you're just feeling that urge and that itch, that can blow out because you've spent so long restricting. So being able to allow yourself a little bit of, you know, whatever it is, a little, you know, have, I don't know, little goals of, I tell people to, you know, sometimes have some money set aside in an account purely for shopping, purely for, you know, impulsive shopping. So you have an amount and when that amount's gone, you know that, well, all that's gone. So it sort of puts it a bit more visually rather than, you know, trying to remember what you've spent on in your normal account. If you just put that money somewhere else, you know, that's specifically for that. It stops that sort of restrict and binge cycle, I guess, if you want to put it that way. It puts it a bit more visually as well, which can really help us too.
So it's almost go ahead, Addy. I'm saying.
Yeah, would that be like taking out a bunch of cash, so you're like, okay, I get $100 this month that I can spend on whatever I want, and having that cash or putting it on like a prepaid debit card or something along those lines, and you're like, okay, this is the card I can use for my stupid online spending. Let's not say stupid, but you know, like my maybe not so necessary spending.
Exactly,
and
right.
That actually like physically separates.
I almost see it like you've got this. The ADHD mind is almost like similar. Like to a bull on a lead. It's like if we do it too tight, the bull is gonna freaking rip us away and throw us over the freaking fence. But you're saying if you have a little bit more leeway, the bull is happier and it doesn't like go on those binges or like emotional rages because it has its freedom to like live its own individual life or something.
Yeah.
Would you say that that's
official? That's I haven't actually thought about that before, but that's one way that you can put it, absolutely. The other type of visual, and it may not make sense to people who don't have kids, perhaps, I'm not sure, but I always tell people as well that our brains can be very much like children and sometimes to treat your brain like a child. So, for example, if I go out to the store with my two kids, they're 8 and 10, and of course, as soon as they see anything, they're also neurodivergent. So they see a lot of things and they're like, I want, I want, I want, I want. So rather than saying, no, you can't have that, no, you can't have that, sometimes I do. So they understand that, you know, we're not just here to shop up a storm. But sometimes I'll be like, I'll take a photo and I'll put it on your Christmas list or your birthday list. And I let them see me take a photo so they know that I'm not just saying that, because I used to just say it and they'd be like, oh, you just, you know. So I take a photo so they can see that I'm, you know, I am actually taking a photo of it so we can remember. So doing something like that as well, because then they feel better. They're not feeling, you know, really restricted. They've seen you take the photo. They feel better about it. So you can kind of do that as well. You know, oh, I saw something that I want in the shop. I'm going to take a photo of it. It tricks your brain into thinking I'm taking a photo to remember that. Or you can write it down if you don't want to take a photo, whatever it is. Because then it tricks your brain into like, okay, I'm not saying to myself, no, I'm just saying not right now. We'll get it down the track. And then how often do we forget about that thing, right? If we leave the store, sometimes it's as soon as we've walked away from that particular spot, it's completely out of our brain and we don't think about it for the next 6 months. And I don't know, I find random photos on my phone. I'm like, oh, I was looking at that. Thank goodness I didn't buy it because I didn't actually want it. So doing something like that as well. So the more that, you know, sometimes you treat your brain like a child, sometimes the better it does behave.
That's such a cool tip. I love that. Especially your kids feel seen and you feel like you know what you want to get them for Christmas as well.
Yeah, exactly. So exactly. So it works both ways.
So it's similar to, I think I sent it to you the other day, Tina. I'd seen something that said the term budget acts in the same way that the term diet does in our brains, where it's putting us in this deprivation mindset where we're like, oh, a budget. Oh, I really want everything outside of my budget.
Yeah.
And so apparently a better, more friendly term is spending plan, where it's like, this is the amount that you have and you are allowed to spend.
Yeah.
And so it's just like reframing those kinds of terms in your heads.
Exactly. And that can go a long way as well. So you're exactly right. It's coming up with a different name that doesn't invoke those feelings of like scared and guilt and restriction and things like that. So calling it something else that either lights you up or, you know, makes you laugh, or even, as you said, just purely just call it a spending plan, because that's essentially what a budget should be. It shouldn't be something that's just restrictive and you set and forget. It should be this plan that's constantly moving, that you revisit all the time, that you look at and go, is this actually realistic? You know, things can change in our lives so quickly now that it doesn't make sense to just set a budget or a spending plan and then you don't look at it for 12 months. So anything that in your, you know, you can call it that invokes those, you know, those nicer emotions and thoughts around the budget or the spending plan can really help you actually attempt to make one.
A spending plan party with like bubbles and colorful boxes would work for me. I think, you know, I think that would help. Like, I think that the main things that help for me is making it huge and visual, you know, having it on the wall in a giant poster board thing. I guess people would use whiteboards for this. It would be a good idea because then it can change still. It's not like set in a framework and that's like restrictive energy.
Yeah. And you make a really good point that it needs to be something that's accessible for you as well. So some people love their spreadsheets and their fancy dashboards and things like that. Some people do not want a bar of that. They will not open their laptop or computer to even look at it. So what's the point of doing it, right? What's the point in having a spreadsheet if A, you don't like spreadsheets, and B, there's, again, a lot of steps to actually get to that spreadsheet of getting your laptop, opening it, turning it on, going to the place where it is. There's a lot of steps that people don't actually think about to get to that point, which, you know, by the time you've done that, like if you're in, you know, a really low functioning day, for example, that might be a lot of your mental energy gone before you've even gotten to that point of looking at your spending plan. So something that's more accessible, as, you know, as you said, either on a wall or a book that you just keep in the kitchen or next to your bed or whatever it is, even just, you know, a piece of paper. Sometimes I do my weekly budget on a post-it note because it's the most accessible thing at that time. It doesn't have to be the same thing all the time either. Keep the novelty alive, you know, do it on a whiteboard sometimes, do it on a piece of paper You know, get a book if that's something, you know, do it on a spreadsheet for a month or two and then change. It doesn't have to be the same thing all the time, which will then, you know, hopefully, as I said, just keep some novelty there and make it a bit more fun.
I love that. I get so, it's nice to have the freedom to move. I think I've felt very guilty sometimes about starting a notebook and then I don't finish it and I'm like, oh, I failed. Or like trying to organize my life and I was like, right, I'll do it on in this like journal and then I fail and I'm like, oh no, I failed at life, guilt spiral time. You know, I love how you're just like, well, just change. Just feel free. Like, no worries, mate. Enjoy your post-it, enjoy your whiteboard. Like, whatever increases your awareness of how you're managing your money and the inflows and outflows, it's good. That's
Yeah,
cool.
absolutely. And this is why having these conversations in this community is so important, because we often don't hear this kind of stuff from typical financial advice. It's always, you know, don't do it on paper because you're going to lose it. You need to do it on a spreadsheet. You need to
Just
make
write
sure
down your outgoings and incomings.
yeah. You need to make
What does that
sure you
mean?
stick to it. You need to do this. You need to do that. And then we fall into the, oh, should, which again, just shame, guilt, all of that stuff starts coming up.
So I'm trying to think of
It
some.
actually
Sorry, go ahead, Addie.
relates to one of the questions someone sent in, was that budgeting takes a lot of executive function energy that I don't have. Is there any way to budget that's more ADHD friendly? So like what you said, just like changing it up, writing on different things. And then they also asked, are there any apps to maybe automate that or generally make it easier?
Yeah, there's apps out there. A lot of ADHDers find success with You Need a Budget app. I personally, I've used an app in the past, but I don't really use them now, because for me personally, the steps to set it up, connect everything, start to categorize everything so the algorithm or whatever it is understands it from there, that's actually a lot of steps for me, so I avoid that. But You Need a Budget app. I think there's an app called Mint as well. There's also one that looks amazing, which is Copilot Money. Not available in Australia yet, so I'm bummed I can't use it yet, but it looks amazing from their website. So have a look if that's available in your country.
That's cool. Copilot money. Okay. Yeah, that'd be handy.
So related to spending plans, we have the holidays coming up. This is probably going to come out around the 9th or 10th of December, so probably when we're all buying our last minute gifts. So do you have any suggestions on how to create a spending plan around this time of year?
Yes. So this time of year, and you know, similarly with birthdays and things like that, it brings up a lot of emotion, right? So if you've got kids and they want all this stuff, and you're like, oh my gosh, I just want to get you all this stuff for Christmas, especially for somebody like me who absolutely loves Christmas, and I just want to get the most amazing presents for people. But you know, understanding that our purchases are going to be fueled by those emotions. Not always negative emotions either, which we've touched on earlier in this episode, but even positive emotions like that excitement for Christmas, like, oh, my kid wants all this amazing stuff, or I know my sister wants this, my friend would love this. So again, being aware of those emotions and perhaps making a list of possible presents and budgets for each person as well. When you're feeling good, so not when you're, you know, really sad, not when you're overly excited. If you are somebody with a menstrual cycle, trying to get into the good part of your menstrual cycle before you do that, because you know we've got that week before our period where it's just, you know, we're just going to spend and make really, you know, not great financial decisions. So trying to get that point in your day or your week where you're feeling really good and you can make those more sound decisions, like, you know, how many presents to buy, budgets for people, things like that. And again, trying to help yourself stick to that by when you are purchasing, again, do it when you're, you know, you're not feeling overly excited, when you're not feeling sad. So those all those sorts of things that we've just spoken about is going to apply to the holiday season as well. And also a really good one as well, if people work and they have colleagues, not to try not to buy from a place of obligation as well. You know, when we feel like we're obligated to buy our colleagues a Christmas gift or the neighbor a Christmas gift, if you can afford it and you want to, go crazy. It, you know, personal finance is personal for that reason. But try not to, you know, go too crazy with just because you feel obligated to buy gifts for people. You know, it's up to you whether you buy a Christmas gift for somebody or not. So yeah, try not to feel sort of guilted into buying too many gifts or even buying for people that you don't actually want to.
Wow, it sounds like what I'm trying to like put this all into form in my head, and I feel like you're helping yourself not impulse spend by being like almost in what's it called when you make decisions beforehand. You're intentional.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you put yourself, you got a few days before Christmas, you're emotionally overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. You're kind of like emotionally drunk, you could say, or like not emotionally sober at least, and yeah. Encourage this impulsivity. Mm-hmm. Like, so you're saying if you think in advance when you're mentally sober, yeah. It will be better for you.
Yeah, oh, that's absolutely.
Good. I'm just trying to like put it into form. That's good advice. Wow, thank you. You have so many zingers.
Yeah, I could talk about
zinger
this all day.
Storm. Well, that's what we're here for. Is there something that we've not covered that you feel like, you know, the people listening to this would benefit from?
I think it's been like a really good overview. Obviously, you know, we can sort of go further, which, you know, maybe more episodes down the track, actually going further into, you know, those emotions. And you know, as I sort of just touched on before, like if you're you know, getting a menstrual cycle, you know, going further into that, because even that can put a lot of strain on finances. You know, mm-hmm. even delving more into spending plans and in emotional spending and impulsive spending. So I think we've touched on everything, but again, you know, there's so much more that we can discuss on each of those topics. But you know, even as I said before, starting with step one, I think this is probably a really good step one overview of, you know, where people might want to go deeper into their money management knowledge.
Cool. So if people want to learn more, how do they follow you?
So the best place to go is my Instagram, which is at the ADHD Accountant. There's heaps of content on there, videos, and then there's links to my website. I've got a Facebook group as well, which is ADHD Money and Finance. Resources in there. You can come ask questions. So yeah, and those links will be on my Instagram.
Wow. Thank you so much for giving us such a great overview of so many different aspects. I really value your time. And dear listeners, I hope you've learned a lot from this. If you feel like anyone else can benefit from this kind of advice, make sure you send in this episode. And I hope it benefits you. And this week, remember to celebrate every single win you have. And for any resources that we have, we're just a ADHDers is like a group of people that are ADHDers just wanting to help other ADHDers, and we make resources at ADHDers.com, so you can, you're welcome to dig in, and it's pay as you feel. So I hope you learned a lot. Thank you so much, Tina. And we will catch you all. Maybe we'll do another episode with some more questions from the community. So send us any on our Insta DMs that you have, and have a great week of caring for yourself even more. Lots of love.